Welcome to the CFSA podcast series. I'm Tim Murphy, Executive Director of CFSA, and your host today. Each episode, we bring you an interview with someone on the leading edge of business and innovation in our industry. Today, we're honored to welcome Dr. Chris Keel, Managing Director of Armada Corporate Intelligence. He provides forecasts and strategic guidance for a wide variety of corporate clients around the world. He is the chief economist for several national and international organizations, including the Fabricators and Manufacturers Association, and the economic analyst for several state accounting societies. He will also be the keynote speaker at CFSA's annual conference and trade show, April 24 through 26, at the JW Marriott in beautiful downtown Indianapolis. Welcome, Chris.
Well, thank you.
Just as we get ready to dive into the content today, I'll start off with something that everybody's talking about. Right now, we're seeing rising fuel prices, supply chain issues, and more that are all heavily impacting sectors across the economy. CFSA represents the supply side of the funeral business. As a futurist, what do you see in the economic outlook for members like ours over the next 1 to 3 years?
Well, 1 to 3 years, it's probably going to be a little calmer than it is right now. We're going to go through a great deal of turmoil for the next several quarters because we're in the middle of sort of unprecedented territory. We know that the Russia-Ukraine situation has drastically altered a lot of the expectations for this year. The crisis du jour is oil and energy, which we've all been dealing with for the last several weeks, and that's probably not going to work itself out until a little later into the year. Everything really depends on what happens in the next several months as far as Ukraine. When does the invasion taper off? Is there going to be any kind of negotiation? All of these are unknowns. In the meantime, we're seeing the oil futures rise. Price today was $130 bucks a barrel. It is predicted to go higher, maybe $140, $150. But at the same time, every time you get any sort of positive news, any sort of hint that there may be an end to this, the price per barrel falls. So we have been seeing a lot of volatility. Down the road, I think we'll see a lot more stability, particularly in the supply chain. Commodities are always volatile. People in your industry know this. Everybody knows this. Things go up, they go down. There's always something that's going to affect key parts of that commodities infrastructure. But the supply chain was overwhelmed by what happened in 2021. There was way more demand than anybody was expecting. And it's taken a while for the transportation sector in particular to kind of adjust. That will be happening as this year progresses. It's going to be slowed by fuel price charges, but I think we're back in a period of normalcy, maybe by early 2023. We were hoping that this would happen in this year, but now it's looking more towards the end of this year, beginning of next.
Okay. So what would you say is the biggest mistake that you see clients make when they're trying to track the economy and how it's going to impact their industry and their business?
Probably the biggest mistake is just not having contingency plans. No one really knows what's going to happen with the economy. We have been hit the last 2 or 3 years with the very unexpected. Nobody expected the COVID outbreak in 2020. Nobody expected the Ukraine-Russia thing to be what it is today. You simply are dealing with a whole series of possibilities and unknowns. And the biggest problem for businesses is that they don't necessarily have a contingency plan for when things don't pan out the way they thought they would. 2020 was a recession that people were not ready for. 2021 was a rapid recovery that people were not ready for. 2022 is turning out to be a war-determined year with excessive inflation. Every one of those things was unanticipated to a degree, but there's always a part of business planning that says, well, if everything goes wrong, what do I do? And by the same token, 2021 was, what do I do if everything goes right? all of a sudden demand is up and everything is back to normal and people are spending the way they were, which was the issue in early 2021. Companies weren't ready for that either. So the challenge for a lot of businesses is just being aware of the outliers and having a plan in place. You know, if I do see this kind of inflation, what do I do? If I do see this kind of growth, what do I do? Just to have in the back of your planner book that, you know, in emergency, break glass. So,
okay. I guess that it's probably safe to say that everything that's happened in the last arguably 2.5 years has really been unanticipated. Nobody saw any of this coming. So I think now we're probably in a mindset where we're thinking, I don't know what's coming next. And that's not a comfortable place to be, I don't think. But I guess that's why we're having this conversation today. Periods of economic stress within an industry can sometimes lead to a period of mergers and acquisitions in that industry. We're starting to see a new round of M&A among funeral supply companies. Do you expect this to continue or think it's about to cool down?
It will probably continue because one of the things that you're seeing as people adjust to the supply chain crisis is a lot more attention to that supply chain. You know, do I want to continue to rely on the just-in-time system, which requires a global pattern? It requires the ability to ship from anywhere in the world reliably, which we have not had for the last couple of years. And so companies are now looking at inventory build and they're saying, look, I need to control both my upstream and downstream as much as I can. There's a lot more reshoring going on. There's a lot more nearshoring going on. 69% of companies doing business in China now are saying that they're very likely, extremely likely to reshore at least part of their operation. That tends to lead to that kind of tuck-in merger acquisition activity that you begin to look at your supplier and say, well, maybe I need more control over that. Maybe I need to make sure that I've got a broader offering. And in order to do that, I've got two choices. I can either do it organically and try to grow my business in that new direction, or I can tuck in an acquisition that allows me to do that more quickly. You also see a lot of orientation towards acquiring skill sets. You see a lot of companies, for example, that weren't involved with IT, purchasing a company that is somewhat IT oriented so they can redirect their energies towards a core business. And then just bear in mind that we're probably coming to the end of easy money. Interest rates are going to be going up sometime this month. We'll continue to go up in reaction to inflation. So if you were planning to use borrowed money to do any of that M&A activity, time is running out and companies are going to feel like they need to make that decision sooner than later. So you'll probably have a real burst of M&A activity, which would presumably slow down a little bit in the second half of the year, depending on how tightly the interest rate environment changes.
That's interesting. That's a really interesting take. You know, some people are nervous, I think, about all the M&A activity that's going on. Some people are excited about it. So I think it's important for our members, especially, to know that it's a really, it is a real part of their everyday existence. Right. And it's around the corner. And so I know of a couple of firms that were surprisingly purchased. They got offers that they couldn't refuse and then they sell. So, I mean, well, let's put it this way. It's never uninteresting.
Exactly. And a lot of M&A activity is based on market share. You know, companies are trying to figure out how to protect their market share. And one of the ways that you do that is to either acquire a competitor so that you've got more control over that market share, or you try to tighten up your supply chain so that you're not being, like right now, companies are experiencing these really, really sharp increases in energy costs. And there's not much they can do about that from an M&A perspective. But they start looking at other parts of their supply chain saying, would it make sense for me to control some aspect of my downstream and upstream activity. We see it a lot with construction companies who are looking at their suppliers and saying, well, you know, maybe now is the time for me to own some of the companies that we buy a lot of stuff from, because then we've got more control over that supply chain.
Yeah, certainly makes sense. As I mentioned in your introduction, you'll be delivering the keynote address at our annual conference next month. Without giving away too much, what can attendees expect to hear from you?
Probably a great deal of confusion. We are in uncharted territory as far as what's going on from day to day. And the last few weeks, my presentations, I laugh that halfway through the presentation, I'm looking at my phone to see if anything has radically changed in the 10 minutes since I've been up there. So it will be kind of a combination of two things. It's going to be a little bit of a review of where we are and how we got here, but most of it will be forecasting. Most of it will be, what can we expect? What are the scenarios that are in play? Knowing full well that we don't really know how these are going to play out, but I like to sort of let people know what the trigger points are, that if this scenario is in play, it's because of this. And if this changes, then the scenario will change. And so people will be able to look at some of these dynamics and say, okay, well, you know, if oil prices keep going up, this will happen. If they start to come down, this will happen. If we have different relationships with countries than we do now, if suppliers change, if the supply chain changes, all of those things begin to affect their strategy.
Well, I know that I for one, am definitely excited about hosting you at our annual conference. And I know that our members are really going to be interested in what they can learn from you. So everybody's pretty jazzed about what's going to happen next month at that conference. So I always like to end our podcast episodes with a question to all of our professional guests, and that is, what one thing do you know now that you wish you would have known at the beginning of your career?
Well, it's interesting because when you go back to my misspent youth in the 1980s, I was training to be a Soviet and East European specialist. I learned Russian. I have a degree in Soviet studies. I have lived in Russia. So I was all set to be a spook and study the evil empire. And then, of course, they went out of business in the 1980s, but they're back. The Cold War is back on again, so I'm relevant again. So I guess the one thing that I wish that I had done is kept up with my Russian, because all of a sudden it's relevant again. And then one discovers that as an economist, the watchword, two things to know about economists for your members. Number one is that we've predicted 17 of the last three recessions, and we are very, very good at predicting the past. You know, our attitude is we will spend tomorrow explaining why the predictions we made yesterday didn't come true today.
That's funny. I really appreciate that. So our members are going to get to hear not only your intellect, but your humor as well. And so we are really excited about that. So Chris, thanks so much for joining us. You know, for our listeners, remember that registration is open now for both the annual conference and our inaugural Women in Leadership Forum at cfsaa.org/2022. Remember, you can always get the latest episode of this podcast delivered directly into your feed by subscribing at Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and Amazon. And you can find us on our website, cfsaa.org/podcast. Once again, thanks for listening, and we'll see you all here in Indianapolis, April 24th through 26th.